Justice Department as it steels itself for the continued onslaught of upcoming congressional inquiries into issues ranging from the Patriot Act to terrorism surveillance. Stinks, stinks, stinks in the White House, folks. Squint your nose, hold your nose, if you're taking a tour of the White House, because it smells to high heaven. We got a really dirty White House here, folks. Really dirty White House. No, we're going to skip the Wolf's Wackies this hour, Samantha. I love the Wolf's Wackies, but skip it. Thank you. We got a really corrupt White House. No question about it. And you should be looking up your number, if you don't already have, of your congressmen and senators, to get on the phone and dial them and just run off a list of all the things that have been happening that you're sick of, from Abramoff to Libby to Attorney General Gonzalez to the number three Al-Qaeda man confessing from the secret Guantanamo Bay hearings to illegal wiretapping to the Iraq war to the potential of an Iran war to fraud in voting primaries and on and on and on. This would fill a textbook, over 800 pages of textbook case of impeachment. This is a classic impeachment case, folks. Enough. Seriously, enough. Big breath, Jeff. Take a breath. Wow. Okay. We have got about 5.5 minutes left at the top of our first hour. I want to remind you, just switching gears, if I may, Walt K., if you're listening from Bear, Massachusetts, B-A-R-R-E, Massachusetts, Walt K., 46 years old, you won the Saturday Night Live book that we were giving away, The Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live. So email us, we'll email you, and we'll get your address so we can send it out. We're still giving away the book called Moments, and it's the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs. And I said inadvertently David Halbertson wrote the foreword, and he's a world-famous photographer. My apologies. I love David Halbertson. He's a world-famous journalist with 13 books and incredible books, and I didn't do him justice, and I apologize. Hal Buell wrote the commentary in the book also, and he's an award-winning editor and journalist. So a collection, 300 pages, black and white in color, an oversized coffee tabletop book of all the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs. I'm giving away one copy. One copy of the book. And if you'd like to enter into that, then enter and write book, photographic book, photography book, Pulitzer Prize book, whatever, but write book, photography book, and email us. We'll hold a drawing next week. We're going to pull out one lucky, not a number, not the 19th, not the 20th, not the 4th. Whatever emails come in, 100 emails, one email, one lucky drawing, one winner will win this beautiful, I think it's a $75 value book that we'll give away at our expense, and we'll mail it out to you on our dime. Okay, fair enough. Wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. And also, you could phone us at 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919. America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. And I'm Jeff Allen Wolf, and I'm a talk show host on the progressive right, the progressive left, excuse me. I say right, I'm rattled here. The progressive left of the aisle, and a 16-year talk show host veteran. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and hopefully it makes you think. Like I said, we get a little unhinged at times, a little high blood pressure, but hopefully you get our common sense that's coming through and opening up a dialogue with you with the emails to find out what's on your mind. So don't stop. Send us emails. Let us know. This is an important story, as they all are, folks, but especially this one, especially with what's going on in the last 6 years in the Bush administration. It is time to clean house. It is time to clean house, folks. And, you know, it's definitely time to change venues, change track of what's going on. All right. We're coming up to our top of our first hour. When we come back, we're going to continue on with the Scooter Libby. I'm sorry, the Gonzalez story. And, we're going to probably switch gears slightly and open it up with a little humor, because we do need a little break from the angst and anger and upset that's been going on. Don't forget to check out nonstopradio.com and check out all the work that they're trying to do to keep progressive talk around. And they have a lot of interesting things going on. They have an award. They're giving out a Trailblazer Award for some of the pioneers in talk radio. I'm not on it because I wasn't a pioneer. But they have an award that they're giving out, and they're looking for nominations, who you feel from the pioneers of talk radio. So check it out. It's all on there. And stick with us in our show. And like I said, we've got a lot to discuss. But we have something funny to talk about in the opening few minutes of our second hour. I think laughter will help help at least me bring the blood pressure down to a bare minimum of not burning ember red right now. My face, Samantha's holding up a sign saying my face is bright red and my neck is bright red. All right, sorry. Well, it's, truth is truth, folks. Samantha, Natasha, I get upset and I get annoyed, and I'm just going to say it as it is. I'll be damned if I make up a show. I'll be damned if I do phony radio. I'll be damned if I do mock controversy like all the other hosts out there, all the conservative talk show hosts. I'm going to be me, and me is straight from the hip, off the cuff, unedited, unfiltered, unspun, and common sense behind what I say. All right, we will be back. And when we do get back, we have a lot more to talk about. We've still got about 2 hours left. Please don't go away to all the Wolfpack listeners out there supporting the show. Thank you so much. I'm trying to think of anything else that I missed. Samantha says, no, you've announced the book. You've announced the Wolfpack 300. Join the Loyal Listeners Club for free. And that's it, folks. More with the Jeff Allen Wolf Show from Studio 19 and Natasha, Samantha, and all the rest here. And you, we're coming right back.
Live from Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf, again on the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Breaking news story on the Al-Qaeda number 3. This just off of the wire services. Al-Qaeda number 3, Mohammed says he's the one that shot House. That's right. Hugh Laurie on the television show House. He shot him in his leg. He's the cause of Hugh Laurie's injury on the fantastically awarded television medical drama House. Just kidding. That's what it should be, shouldn't it? This man has admitted to everything, folks. He's shot everybody. He's killed everybody. He's... Okay, humor. We need some humor. This was dug up for me from my lovely lady, Natasha. And this is the end. I need the laughter, folks. Hopefully you don't mind the break in politics to go to something totally unrelated. This is the annual Stella Awards, okay? Let me read this to you. It's time once again to review the winners of the annual Stella Awards. The Stellas are named after 81-year-old Stella Labeck, who spilled coffee on herself and successfully sued McDonald's in New Mexico. Now, that case inspired the Stella Awards for the most frivolous, ridiculous, successful lawsuits in the United States for this year. Are you ready? This is going to show you how stupid our judiciary system is. Fifth place tie, folks. A fifth place tie, three-way. I'm sorry. This is funny. You will really like this. Kathleen Robertson of Austin, Texas, was awarded $80,000 by a jury of her peers after breaking her ankle, tripping over a toddler who was running inside a furniture store. I could see that. The owners of the store were understandably surprised at the verdict, considering the misbehaving little toddler was Ms. Robertson's own son. She was awarded $80,000. Tied for fifth place, however, folks, 19-year-old Carl Truman of Los Angeles won $74,000 in medical expenses when his neighbor ran over his hand with a Honda Accord. Makes sense. Oh, well, Mr. Truman apparently didn't notice there was someone at the wheel of the car when he was trying to steal his neighbor's hubcaps. Yet he was awarded $74,000. Still tied for fifth place, folks. Terrence Dixon of Bristol, Pennsylvania, was leaving a house he had just finished robbing by way of the garage. He was not able to get the garage door to go up since the automatic door opener was malfunctioning. He couldn't re-enter the house because the door connecting the house and garage locked when he pulled it shut. The family was on vacation. Mr. Dixon found himself locked in the garage for 8 days. He subsisted on a case of Pepsi he found and a large bag of dry dog food. So he was arrested, right? No. He sued the homeowner's insurance, claiming the situation caused him undue mental anguish, and the jury agreed to the tune of $500,000. Thank you, Natasha. Fourth place, Jerry Williams. Oh, it gets better? For you damn right it does. Wait, do you hear this? Fourth place, Jerry Williams of Little Rock, Arkansas, was awarded $14,500 in medical expenses after being bitten on the buttocks by his next-door neighbor's beagle. The beagle was on a chain in its owner's fenced yard. The award was less than sought because the jury felt the dog might have been just a little provoked at the time by Mr. Williams, who had climbed over the fence into the yard and was shooting the beagle repeatedly with a pellet gun. I'm not making this up, folks. Third place, hey, we're getting better to the big winners. A Philadelphia restaurant was ordered to pay Amber Carson of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, $113,500 after she slipped on a soft drink and broke her tailbone. The beverage was on the floor because Ms. Carson had thrown it at her boyfriend 30 seconds earlier during an argument, and she got $113,000 plus. Second place, folks. Kara Walton of Claymont, Delaware, successfully sued the owner of a nightclub in a neighboring city when she fell from the bathroom window to the floor and knocked out her two front teeth. Now, this occurred while Ms. Walton was trying to sneak through the window in the ladies' room to avoid paying the $3.50 cover charge. She was awarded $12,000 and dental expenses. Number one, first place. I love this one. This year's runaway winner was Mrs. Merv Grzynski of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Mrs. Grzynski purchased a brand new 32-foot Winnebago motorhome on her first trip home from an OU football game. Having driven onto the freeway, Mrs. Grzynski, while she's on the freeway, she set the cruise control at 70 miles per hour and then calmly left the driver's seat to go into the back and make herself a sandwich. Not surprisingly, the RV, of course, left the freeway, crashed, and overturned. Mrs. Grzynski sued Winnebago for not advising her in the owner's manual that she couldn't actually do this. The jury awarded her $1,750,000 plus a new motorhome, folks. The company actually changed their manuals on the basis of this suit, just in case there were any other complete morons out there like Mrs. Grzynski. And that's the Stella Awards. And that is absolutely freaking hilarious. And thank you. That's great, folks. That's great. Thank you, Natasha, for that. Hope you enjoyed that. break it up a little levity here. We're getting really serious on stuff. But now it's time to revisit the Gonzalez trial. Yeah, we got to go back to the reality of the world, folks, the idiocy of the George Bush administration and Attorney General Gonzalez. Panel okay subpoenas in attorney probe from Washington. The Associated Press, again, my favorite. The Senate Judiciary Committee Thursday cleared the way for subpoenas compelling five Justice Department officials and six of the U.S. attorneys they fired to tell the story of the purge that has prompted demands for the ouster of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. The voice vote to authorize the panel to issue subpoenas amounts to insurance against the possibility that Gonzalez could retract his permission to let the aides testify voluntarily or impose strict conditions. The committee also postponed for a week a vote on whether to authorize subpoenas of top aides to President Bush, who were involved in the eight firings, including political advisor Karl Rove, former White House counsel Harriet Meyer, and Deputy White House counsel William K. Kelly. The committee approved subpoena power over key Justice Department officials involved in the firings, Michael Elston, Kyle Sampson, Monica Goodling, Bill Mercer, Mike Battle. Sampson, Gonzalez's chief of staff, quit this week. Elston is staff chief to Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty. Mercer is associate attorney general. Goodling is Gonzalez's senior counsel and White House liaison, and Battle is the departing director of the office that oversees all 93 U.S. attorneys. Gonzalez has said he would allow the aides still at the Justice Department to testify voluntarily. It was unclear whether Sampson would agree to tell his story without a subpoena. The panel also approved subpoena power for six of the eight U.S. attorneys fired since December, the six, all of whom testified last week under oath before the House committee, are Carol Lamb of California, Bud Cummings of Arkansas, Paul Charlton of Arizona, John McKay of Washington State, Daniel Bogden of Nevada, David Iglesias of New Mexico. The subpoenas are a warning to the embattled administration to follow through on promises in recent days by Gonzalez and Bush to tell the whole story of the firings beyond the selected details that Associate Deputy Attorney General William Moschella revealed to the White House panel last week. Now, I want to obtain their cooperation and all relevant information, Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy said. But I want people to know that if I do not get cooperation, I will subpoena. We will have testimony under oath in this committee. We will find out what happened. Good. Someone having some balls for a change. Ranking Republican Arlen Specter said he would do the same thing if he was still chairman. But he cautioned against passing judgment on Gonzalez and the aides before the facts are fully known. I agree that this committee should get to the bottom of this issue, Specter, Republican Pennsylvania, said. I would hope that we would do so with at least a modicum of objectivity. Some senators have called for days for Bush to fire Gonzalez. Senator John Sununu of New Hampshire on Wednesday became the first Republican to call for Gonzalez's ouster just hours after Bush gave Attorney General, a longtime friend of the president, a vote of confidence. I think the president should replace him, Sununu said in an interview. I think the Attorney General should be fired. Although some Republicans have been tepid in their support for the Attorney General, Sununu was the first to go so far in the uproar of the Justice Department's firing of the attorneys and its response to congressional questions, plus a separate report that the administration abused its power to secretly investigate suspected terrorists. The White House issued a curt response to Sununu's remarks. "We're disappointed, obviously," White House spokesman Tony Snow said. A Justice Department spokeswoman refused to comment. Speaking to reporters in Mexico before returning to Washington, Bush expressed confidence in Gonzalez, defended the firings. What Al did and what the Justice Department did was appropriate, the president said. Still, Bush left himself room to sack the attorney general. What was mishandled was the explanation of the cases to the Congress, Bush said, and Al's got work to do up there. Gonzalez, expected to meet with lawmakers this week, has been fending off Democratic demands that he resign over the ousters of the eight U.S. attorneys, which Democrats have characterized as a politically motivated purge. "We want Congress to know, to understand what happened here," Gonzalez says. "We'll work it out." Same thing like Rumsfeld, folks. Bush supported him, and then what happened? He resigned. And I'm telling you, Alberto Gonzalez will resign. If he doesn't, I'll be shocked. He will resign. They will hold hearings and have subpoenas with the hearings. We will find out more, and this is going to lead on and on. If one more scandal comes out in the Bush administration, I'm telling you this, if this is not the straw that broke the camel's back, it's damn near close, folks. It's damn near close. We'll see what the weekend brings and the weeks ahead bring, but I'm telling you, the noose is tightening on the Texas team, George Bush and the Texas group, and they are getting their comeuppance that they're due for 6 years. I really believe it's starting to happen. I really believe this. I think we're going to see some interesting fireworks as the weeks advance. We're going to talk about, we got a break coming up. We're going to talk about, for weary conservatives, all eyes are on George Bush, what he does now. We're going to cover that. A lot of things they're watching him for, and we'll go through that in detail. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you're getting some information. Hope you're getting fired up in your gut and your soul to do something and act upon it. Hope you're at least writing us a damn email. WolfpackTalk@yahoo.com. 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 I'm Jeff. This is the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. 3 hours. We got about an hour and 46 minutes left for our show. And we got plenty of time to talk about a lot of things. Samantha in the studio with me. We're going to come back from Studio 19 and more about what's happening in the world of Washington. The Incredible Wizard of Oz. The only George Bush, right? What a fiasco this administration has been, folks. It's easy to do a talk show. It really is. Because every day, every single day, something goes wrong with the Bush administration. It's getting worse by the minute. All right, we're coming back. We got more ahead on the show. You're on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. Don't go away. Coming back to the Wolf's Den, you, the Wolfpack listeners, in two.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their progressive talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of progressive talk. Nonstopradio.com.
Hey, Wolfpack listeners. We'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's WOLFPACKTALK@yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us, to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
Narrowcast, podcast, world class. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And Jeff Allen Wolf back with you for the show. Welcome back to the Wolf's Den here in Arizona, Studio 19. And to all the Wolfpack listeners out there, au, au, au. There we go. That's my big That's my big awoo. Hey, don't forget we're giving away this beautiful book. I want to take a moment to talk about this. You know, we don't get any money coming into the show, folks. We really don't, except for advertising. And our advertiser that we're running right now is basically paid for in full. We set a deal with our advertiser. They help finance the setup of the studio with the equipment, and they get to run as long as I'm on the air, and there's no more income coming in from them. So right now, as we look for more advertisers, we're basically at ground zero of income, but money is going out the door on a daily basis. But I took the time. I have this book, and it's the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs. And it's called Moments, by Hal Buell, award-winning editor and journalist, and foreword by David Halbertson. And David Halbertson, a legendary figure in American letters, is the author of 13 best-selling books. He joined the New York Times in 1960, became renowned for his coverage of Vietnam, for which he won a Pulitzer Prize. His books include The Best and the Brightest and The Powers That Be. This is a fabulous book. It's 300 pages of black and white and color Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs, folks, from 19... What do we say the first... what do we say the first photo in here is 1942? All the way up to, they take you to, I'm looking at this, to 2005, folks. 2005. These books will move you. They will make you drop your jaw. They will make you cry. They will make you heavy in the heart. They will make you hopeful. Just every gamut of emotion. And we are giving away the one copy of this book. It's an oversized, fairly large tabletop, beautiful presented coffee tabletop book, the Pulitzer Prize winning photographs, called Moments. And all you need to do is email us and say, listen carefully, because I had people sending me emails that I had to disqualify. Please don't just write us an email and say, I want the book. And that's not going to cut it. To get a book like this, we're just asking you to do a little bit more. Take the time to say some things about the show. If you've been listening for a while, be honest. If you're a first-time listener, say so. But don't just, I want a book. I'm answering because it's free. I appreciate that. But give us your first name. Give us the city, state, and country, if you're out of the United States, that you're listening from. How did you hear about the show? iTunes, Google, the Horn Radio Network, Radio Power Days, website, friend, stumbled across it, a pigeon told you. The Guantanamo Bay Secret Hearings, they released a transcript and told you about the show. And make some comments, don't we? We've had a lot of emails come in where they've talked about the issues we're talking about, went into a paragraph or two about whatever was on their mind, and then asked, by the way, I'd like to be entered for the drawing of the book. We're going to pull out one lucky Wolfpack listener. If there's 20 people, if there's 2,000 people, it doesn't matter. One lucky Wolfpack listener will win the copy of this Pulitzer Prize-winning photographic book called Moments. And I'll send it out to you anywhere in the world on our dime. And realize it's one entry per person. If you come across with multiple entries, not a problem, but we will clip it together with a stapler gun, and we'll go, that's one entry. Okay, so be fair. Enter. Let us know you're out there. This is one way of getting you motivated at least to comment on things. Shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to comment on the issues that we're talking about regardless of toys. But I wanted to give away this. I had an extra one of these. I literally bought two of these. And I was going to give it away to a photographer friend of mine, but I'd like to give it away to one of the Wolfpack listeners. If you like journalism, if you're into beautiful photographs, beautiful in the sense of not beautiful, beautiful to the eye, but incredible photography capturing, you know, journalistic moments, the issues from Iwo Jima to Iraq to, you know, everything that's happened in the last 60 years, this is the book to enter a contest into, okay? Wolfpack Talk at yahoo.com, WOLFPACKTALK. And please send your emails to us, and we'll have the drawing at the end of the week or the beginning of next week. All right, for wary conservatives, all eyes are on Bush. From the Washington AP wire services, every time President Bush makes an overture to Democrats, and he makes plenty these days, conservative Republicans get edgy. Why? Well, they fear he might be so willing to cross the aisle that he will end up crossing them. Everybody should be very concerned and very active, says Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform and a conservative leader with close White House relations. The temptation for an administration in the last 2 years is to do something for legacy purposes, Norquist said. And with the Democratic House and Senate, doing something cannot be good. The White House sees it differently. Mired in an unpopular war, slumping in the polls, knocked off course by one setback after another, Bush still has time. He can score a few legislative victories and burnish his domestic legacy before he leaves office if he gets help from both parties. Plus, he has little to lose, not having to worry about an election ever again. Now that Bush needs cooperation from Democrats to get things done, bipartisanship is back in style. We have suffered as a party from a perception that we're unwilling and unable to get things done, said Ed Gillespie, a former Republican Party chairman. And so if there are some things that we can do that are consistent with our Republican principles, we should get those things done. Since Democrats won the House and Senate in November, Bush has appealed to them on education, energy, health care, immigration, and Social Security. That has kicked up whispers of triangulation, a model linked to his predecessor, Democrat Bill Clinton. As designed, it amounted to plucking ideas from the opposing party, taking others from the president's own party, and offering up a merge strategy to put the White House above the fray. Even when it worked, it often led to both sides feeling scorched. Karl Rove, Bush's chief political strategist, had been reassuring conservatives that will not happen under this president. The White House mantra is to work with Democrats without abandoning such tenets as low taxes and personal responsibility. The AP story goes on to say, as Rove put it, we're going to operate around principles and see if we could find a way to bring the broad center together with us. Then he thought about those words and got more precise about the middle ground. Broad right center, he said. William Galston, a top domestic policy aide to Clinton, said triangulation was overhyped. In reality, he said, Clinton worked with Republicans on matters such as overhauling welfare, a campaign pledge because his views mesh with theirs. Likewise, Bush may have more in common with Democrats than leaders in his own party on education and immigration. The president now has an opportunity to take yes for an answer, said Galston, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Access is not the problem for conservative leaders. They regularly get an audience with the White House through conference calls and meetings and a friendly heads up when policy changes are coming. I don't feel like we're being cut out at all, said Representative Jen Hensarling, Republican Texas, chairman of the Coalition of House Conservatives, known as the Republican Study Committee. Ask me the same thing 6 months from now, but right now I think we have good dialogue. Still, Bush has not always been in concert with the base that helped get him elected twice. Conservative Republicans have derailed one of his Supreme Court nominations and chided him for expanding government more than he has restrained it. On cultural issues, such as Bush's opposition to abortion and gay marriage, conservatives are not bracing for a fight. The grumbles tend to focus on two bedrock issues, immigration and taxes. Bush remains adamant that immigration changes should include a guest worker program and a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants. Many Republicans support that approach. Conservatives say it is too lenient towards those who entered the country illegally. House conservatives will be exceedingly unhappy about anything that is even a faint aroma of amnesty, Hensarling said. A stalemate, though, does the GOP no good. Republican leaders fear their party could splinter in the 08 election year. On taxes, the president has put it plainly, we're not going to raise taxes, but the worries are not going away. To entice Democrats to negotiate on overhauling Social Security, Bush has offered to meet without ruling anything out. Many conservatives say nothing good can come of that. They do not even want him in the room with Democrats. Their nightmare is a deal in which taxes go up or benefits go down to make the program more solvent, yet without the private investment accounts that Bush wants. Some of this unrest may be rooted solely in memories of disappointment, Gillespie said. Bush's father famously broke his Read My Lips pledge against raising taxes in a budget deal with Democrats. Now Republicans had to work to halt President Reagan's tax deal with Democrats in 1985 and led in part by a Wyoming lawmaker named Dick Cheney. Norquist said the pressure on Bush to give in to the Democrats even one time will be immense. Then again, Bush seems inclined to do more than just say no, and he is running out of time. The president doesn't have 2 years, Galston said. I don't think he has a year. He has about 9 months before it's all politics all the time. He has to decide how successful he wants the remainder of his presidency to be. That's talking about wary conservatives looking at Bush carefully, watching his every move. That's what happens in a presidency like this. You're trying to make a name for yourself, a legacy. You don't have a lot of time. You got to start scrambling. And that's the name of that tune. Wolfpacktalk at yahoo.com. You can email us, wolfpacktalk at yahoo.com. WOLFPACKTALK at yahoo.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got, let's see, what are we covering here? We're covering a deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. President rejects health care proposal. Giuliani will miss firefighters event. We'll find out what that's all about. And if we can get that in the second hour, Giuliani law firm lobbies in Texas on the behalf of Chavez, Hugo Chavez, and the controlled Citgo. That should be an interesting read. So stay with us. Don't go away. We got a lot to talk about. You are listening to America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. And again, I'm Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19 in Arizona. Samantha, my producer, Natasha, my news producer, Dave, my website designer, and all the people that make this show involved or get involved to make this show happen. Salute off to you and to a salute to all the Wolfpack listeners out there. So stay with us. We've got a lot to talk about. Don't forget the book. Enter for the book. Enter the Wolfpack 300. Enter just to say hello and send us an email. A lot of ways you can enter, and it's very easy to get into us, and we do respond when we get some time. That's about it. All right, so we're coming back. We're at the bottom of our first hour, basically there. And when we get back, we're going to discuss more stuff that's happening in the world of politics and around the world and issues left and right, up and down. I'm Jeff, coming right back.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their Progressive Talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of Progressive Talk. nonstopradio.com.
Hey, Wolfpack listeners. We have a new thing going on. It's called the Wolfpack 300. That's right. It's the Loyal Listener Club of this show, the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. And it's very easy to join, and it's free. If you want to become a member of the Wolfpack 300, write us an email, put in the subject line Wolfpack 300, your first name, your age range, the city, state, or country where you're listening to the show from, and how you heard about the show. We're going to put our first 300 loyal listeners of the Wolfpack on our webpage, a special page just for the Wolfpack 300, where we're going to have your first name and the city, state, or country you represent from all around the world. The Wolfpack 300, it's easy and it's free. Write us at wolfpacktalk at yahoo.com and join the Wolfpack 300 today.
On this show, there's only one rule. No spin. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And welcome back, everyone, to the show that never ends. The progressive guy from the blend. I don't know. I was going for a rhyme there, and it didn't work, so I stopped and I quit while I was behind, as they say. All right, let's get right to more news, more fun things, more wild, crazy things in the news. Deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. This is from the United Nations. Six world powers reached agreement Thursday on a package of new sanctions against Iran that included an embargo on arms exports and an asset freeze on more individuals and companies associated with Tehran's nuclear and missile programs. The draft resolution hammered out by the five permanent Security Council nations, the United States, Russia, China, Britain and France, and Germany, will now be presented to the 10 non-permanent Security Council nations who have been left out of negotiations. We have an agreement, and I will introduce it as text on behalf of the six, Britain's UN ambassador, Amir Jones-Perry said after a meeting of ambassadors from the six countries. So a deal has been reached on the U.N. sanctions versus Iran, and we will see what they totally are. It includes the embargo on arms exports and an asset freeze on more individuals and companies associated with Tehran's nuclear and missile programs. We'll see if that helps, if it makes a difference or not, as the weeks and months, of course, go on. And, you know, we'll see where they're leading to. Hopefully it will work, short of George Bush invading Iran. President rejects healthcare proposal. The Bush administration on Wednesday rejected key recommendations from a citizens group asked by Congress to find out people's health care wishes. Suggestions included guaranteeing health coverage for specific checkups and treatments and protecting consumers from high medical expenses. The group released its report September 29th after hearing from about 6,500 people at 84 meetings. President Bush agrees with many of the goals, but differs on how to achieve them, according to a letter from Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Levitt to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The group chose an approach based on mandates and government intervention rather than an approach emphasizing consumer choice and options, Levitt said. Congress created the task force when it established a drug benefit for Medicare beneficiaries. The group's 15 members represented consumers, the disabled, business, organized labor, and healthcare providers. The task force called for a guaranteed package of health benefits for everyone. It urged creation of an independent, nonpartisan group to select those benefits, such as the annual breast cancer exam or physical. The group did not answer the hard question of how the government should pay for the benefits, but said people believe there is enough money to make the changes. The group said the government should first transfer money from other programs to pay for the benefits. Levitt said the administration agrees it is important to make health care more affordable and expand insurance coverage, but he disagreed with the concept of a national commission to define coverage. A nationally determined set of core health benefits would place important decision-making about a person's health care in the control of federal appointees, rather than allowing the consumer to choose the benefits from best which fits meets their needs, Levitt said. Senators Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, and Orrin Hatch, Republican Utah, came up with the idea for the group. Wyden said he believes that lawmakers are more willing to work together in health care than they have been in many years. We're seeing real signs that members of Congress want to fix the health care system, he said. So the president rejects the health care proposal, but they're still working on it. They're still trying to push it through. Bravo to them, because we need some movement on the front of health care, folks. We can't just do same old, same old. We've got to get people covered. We got to get people be able to choose benefits, etc. We got to revamp the healthcare system to go worlds apart than where we are now. We need to jump into the future. Okay, so if you have opinions on this, you can reach us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Giuliani will miss firefighters event. John McCain will be there, as will Hillary Rodham Clinton, John Edwards, and half a dozen other presidential candidates. But when firefighters hold a candidates forum today in Washington, Rudolph Giuliani, the contender most closely identified with their profession, will not attend. In the past several days, a private tussle over Giuliani's participation. He was out, then in, then out again, has turned into a public spat with the International Association of Firefighters. That, in turn, has highlighted an uncomfortable paradox of Giuliani's campaign. Since the September 11th attacks, when he was mayor of New York City, he has been linked in the public mind to firefighters and police officers whom he regularly hails as heroes as he campaigns around the country. Yet the firefighters and police officers who know Giuliani best, those in New York City, have mixed reviews of him, ranging from admiration to outright hostility. We told you about this, folks. We told you in the last couple of weeks, Giuliani is paper thin. He's a phony. This has filtered through to leaders of their national associations accusing Giuliani for trying to cut short the effort to find victims' remains in the Trade Center wreckage. They also contend that his administration mishandled the development of a radio system that could have saved lives on 9/11, and that he blundered into putting the city's emergency command center in the Trade Center. The Giuliani campaign says that criticism stems from the hostility from union leaders with whom he had tough negotiations, and it promotes the notion that the former mayor has a special bond with emergency workers. He was cheered by firefighters and police officers at recent events in South Carolina and New Hampshire. This is a natural constituency for him, said Anthony Carbonetti, a senior Giuliani advisor. The critiques, he said, come from a select group of union officials, and the union and the firefighters are two different groups of people. He said rank-and-file workers know, for example, that Giuliani got firefighters heavy-duty suits known as bunker gear that has saved lives. But attacks by emergency workers quietly encouraged by some rival campaigns strike at the heart of the candidacy of Giuliani, who presents himself as a leader who tamed crime and led a wounded city through the aftermath of the terror attacks. And that's another bogus thing. The criticism is all the more jarring because most public figures in both parties, whether out of conviction or calculation, have been unwilling to say anything negative about Giuliani's handling of 9/11. Jim Pascoe, executive director of the National Fraternal Order of Police, said, "Everybody likes a Churchillian kind of leader who jumps up when the ashes are still falling and takes over. But two or three good days don't expunge an eight-year record." So Giuliani is going to miss the firefighters' event as a falling out with them. I'm telling you, a lot of people like him less than you think, folks. Don't let the slick, the New York background, his slick handling of 9/11 fool you. A lot of people in New York do not like him and do not respect him. Okay? So just wanted to bring that to the table. And we're coming up to a few minutes before our break. We're going to talk about Giuliani law firm lobbies for Chavez, Hugo Chavez. Also, we're going to talk about, where are we at on this one? We're going to talk about, that's probably as much as we can get in those two news stories. So we'll hang on to that, and we'll take it a step at a time. What else in the news? Don't forget our Wolfpack 300 Club. Don't forget just email us for the sake of emailing us. Don't forget to email and put in a registration for the top Pulitzer Prize winning photographs in a book called Moments. You can register for a drawing for that book. We're giving away one copy to one lucky winner. And a lot of things to write to us about. So don't be a stranger. Take the time. You're in front of the computer already. You're on an iPod, whatever. It's very convenient to send us an email and check in with us. Let us know you're there. Like I said, we need to hear acknowledgement from the people out there. That's what keeps us going. That's the only thing that excites us and potential advertisers is seeing the emails coming out to us, okay? So take the time and flood the email box for a change. Make us work. Samantha and Maverick and Natasha are not working that hard, folks. They need to work harder to open up all the emails and see all the comments from all the listeners out there. All right, Samantha says, we'll take a break early? Let's. Why don't we do that? Why don't we take a break early? And we will be back in two. We're going to cut to the commercials right now. Just squeeze it a little ahead of time. When we get back, again, more to discuss here at Studio 19. Jeff Allen Wolf, come on back. We're here very shortly. Or maybe not.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their progressive talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of progressive talk. nonstopradio.com.
Wolfpack listeners, we'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's WOLFPACKTALK at yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us, to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, but with a huge dose of common sense. It's Jeff Allen Wolf.
And back with you on the show, the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, Studio 19, Arizona. Welcome back with about 16 minutes left, we'll call it, before the end of the second hour. Let's get right into this. Giuliani Law Firm lobbies in Texas for Chavez-controlled Citgo. That's why I don't like Giuliani. Listen to the further rumblings here. Rudolph Giuliani's law firm lobbies for Citgo Petroleum Corp, a unit of the state-owned oil company controlled by Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, the U.S.'s chief antagonist in the Western Hemisphere. Bracewell and Giuliani LLP registered to lobby for Citgo in Texas on April 26, 2005, less than a month after the former New York mayor joined the firm and became a name partner, state records show. Citgo renewed the contract in 2006 and 2007 and pays the firm $5,000 a month to track legislation. Giuliani doesn't lobby, the firm says. The law firm's representation of Citgo comes as Chavez's relations with the U.S. have grown increasingly hostile. He has called President George W. Bush a devil and a madman and staged a mass anti-American rally in Buenos Aires during Bush's trip to Latin America, which ends today. Patrick Oxford, a managing partner of Bracewell and Giuliani, said Giuliani, Republican presidential hopeful, has no dealings with the Venezuelan-owned oil company. He has not seen hide nor hair of Citgo, Oxford said. Giuliani's presidential exploratory committee released a statement that didn't address written questions asking whether he knew his firm did business with Houston-based Citgo and whether he considers it appropriate. The emailed statement discussed his views toward Chavez and energy policy. Mayor Giuliani has been clear and consistent. Hugo Chavez is no friend of the United States, campaign spokeswoman Katie Levinson said in the statement. Chief among the reasons Chavez has so much influence around the world is our ongoing dependence on foreign oil. No disclosure, Giuliani, 62, has been active in business since leaving office at the end of 2001, making speeches, running a security consulting company and an investment bank, and joining the Houston-based law firm. He hasn't yet had to file public disclosures of his client lists, income, or holdings, folks. The U.S. State Department said in May that Venezuela was not fully cooperating with counterterrorism efforts, and the U.S. government banned arms sales to the country. Citgo has been fully owned by Venezuela's national oil company, Petróleos de Venezuela, since 1990, Chavez, 52, who earlier this year won the authority to supersede the Venezuelan's legislature, has the power to appoint and fire top executives and set policy for the company. Citgo spokesman David McCullum said the company supplies Citgo with crude oil to refine and sell. We do pay dividends to pay them as any subsidiary does to its parent company, he said. Venezuela is the third largest oil producer in OPEC. Texas Ethics Commission filing shows Citgo paid Bracewell and Giuliani between $75,000 and $150,000 in 2005-06 and will pay an additional $50,000 to $100,000 this year. The firm monitors such issues as environmental regulation and taxes, Oxford said. Telling you, Giuliani is not clean, folks. Bracewell. Ann Patterson, the predecessor firm to Bracewell and Giuliani, did legal work for the company in the 1990s before Chavez came to power, and for Citgo before Giuliani arrived in 2005, Oxford said. Oxford called Citgo an old-time U.S. company, saying it pays U.S. taxes, employs 5,000 people in the U.S., mainly in Texas. In September, 7-Eleven Inc., which once owned Citgo, dropped the oil company as its gasoline supplier, citing in part Chavez's hostile rhetoric toward the U.S., and it just goes on and on and on. The question, Fowler said, is how Rudy reconciles his heroic role as mayor of a devastated New York with the less appealing image of the corporate shill. Giuliani has forged his post-September 11th persona with such acts as rejecting a $10 million contribution for disaster relief from Saudi Prince Alwid bin Talib bin Abdul Aziz after the prince said the U.S. should adopt a more balanced stand toward the Palestinian cause. A Richmond Times dispatch editorial last month contrasted Giuliani's gesture with former U.S. Representative Joseph Kennedy II, son of the late U.S. Robert Kennedy and president of the nonprofit Citizens Energy Corp. Kennedy has appeared in television commercials thanking Venezuela for providing discounted oil to heat homes of low-income U.S. residents. The February 15th editorial reminded readers that Giuliani scorned money he considered tainted, supposedly. Like I said, there's a lot to Giuliani that we're not aware of, and it'll come out if he continues to go on. The reporters will dig deeper, hopefully, and we'll find out more about Giuliani. Giuliani will not be the nominee, I don't think. He's too liberal for conservatives on the Republican side, and I think there's too much tainted stuff going on and all of the dealings he had because of 9/11 and on, and I don't trust him. I think there's something going on, and it remains to be seen, doesn't it, folks? All right, we're coming up to about 11 and a half minutes before the top of our second hour. Right, Samantha? She says right. And we have not done this, so Samantha says we need to do this, so let's do it.
Wolf Swackies. It's Wolf Swackies Stories.
All right, a Wolf Swackies, we skipped the first hour, but this is a good one. Police rescue 91-year-old man glued to his roof. From Berlin, a 91-year-old German sparked a rescue operation when he slipped, mending his roof, got stuck fast in tar like a beetle on its back, police said on Tuesday. Passersby were so shocked to see an elderly handyman working on the roof, they first thought he was planning to commit suicide, according to police in the eastern city of Mattelburg. In fact, he was just recoating the roofing with bitumen, but then he slipped, said a spokesman for police. When we got there, he was like a beetle on its back, with his arms and legs sprawled out, completely glued to the roof, he added. Due to his age, he couldn't free himself from his unfortunate situation. Local firemen carefully detached the man using ropes and ladders. He was unharmed, but had sticky clothes, police said. Police rescued 91-year-old man after he accidentally glues himself to the roof of a house. And that's the Wolf's Wackies here on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, unshaven, uncorked, unglued, but totally assembled. It's Jeff Allen Wolf with a huge dose of common sense for you.
And back with you. Okay, can you just picture this guy on his back, on the roof, flailing about? I mean, it's not funny, but it is funny, and, you know, 91-year-old man, poor guy, and, you know, anybody, 20, 90, whatever, you're on your back, and you're trying to free yourself, and you look like a beetle. They said they thought he was trying to commit suicide. He looked like a giant beetle. That's sad. When they think you're a beetle, you know it's time for you to give up, you know? Don't be a beetle. You shouldn't be a beetle, folks. It is against the law to be a beetle. That's what I say. This came over the wire services. Israel is not enthusiastic about strike on Iran, says Olmert. Israel is not enthusiastic about using military means to stop Iran's controversial nuclear program, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said on Wednesday. The central issue bothering Israel nowadays is Iran. Olmert's office quoted him as telling representatives of the American Jewish Council, "I have said before and I still believe that we prefer a diplomatic solution to the issue. We are not enthusiastic about a military solution," he said during the meeting in Jerusalem. Believed to be the region's soul, if undeclared nuclear power, Israel has accused Iran of trying to make an atomic bomb under the guise of a civilian nuclear program, a charge Tehran, of course, denies. Israel considers Iran's nuclear program to be an existential threat after its hardline president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad repeatedly called for the Jewish state to be wiped off the map. Olmert has in the past said Israel did not rule out taking military steps against Iran. Also Wednesday, ultra-nationalist minister for strategic affairs Avigdor Lieberman accused European leaders of willing to sacrifice the Jewish state to preserve economic ties with Tehran. There are elements in Europe that are ready to sacrifice Israel on the altar of their security of their trade contracts with Iran, Lieberman said. We saw the same phenomenon before World War II. That is how they sacrificed Czechoslovakia. That is how they ignored the Jewish problem, he said, referring to when European powers allowed Nazi Germany to annex areas in Central Europe on the eve of World War II. I can see no other explanation to the opposition of some elements in Europe to imposing severe sanctions against Iran, he told public radio. Six world powers, the permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany, of course, came up with sanctions. We talked about that earlier in the day. The Security Council slapped a first round of sanctions on Iran in December. They just announced new sanctions. So Israel's saying they're not looking to strike Iran. They don't want military action. It's on the table, but they'd rather have diplomatic sanctions first. So, good. All right, we're coming up to the end of our second hour. Don't forget, you can email us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. WOLF. packtalk@yahoo.com. You can join the Wolfpack 300. That's the fan club for the show. The Golden 300, the first group of loyal listeners. We're going to put you on our web page. We have a web page for yourself with your first name, your city and state you represent, the country if you're outside the United States. And eventually we'll get pictures of everyone up there. That'll be fun. And just a very laid-back thing, a tribute, a salute to the loyal listeners of this show and the loyal listeners of Progressive Talk Radio. If you like Progressive Talk Radio, then please, if you like this show, join the Wolfpack 300. It's free. Just have to send us an email and give us all the pertinent information, and you're in. We're not going to put you in. We would appreciate you requested it because we don't want to assume that you want to be part of something without asking you. Also, we have the book called Moments. It's a beautiful 300-page oversized coffee tabletop book, the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs, Hal Buell, foreword by David Halbertson, two award-winning journalists. David Halbertson won the Pulitzer Prize for literature, 13 fantastic books.